The following recording offers you a number of different options for the Daf Yomi. It begins with a recording of this, the 13th cycle's Daf Yomi, and that's done rather rapidly, within a half an hour or less. That's followed by a quick review between 5 and 10 minutes, depending on the length of the Daf. After that comes the very same Daf from the previous cycle, done at greater length in much greater detail, with different participants in a different ambience. You could choose one for your original learning, one for review, alternate, or whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Brachot is Daf Samach Daled, brought to you Miben Chomot Yerushalayim. And we're holding on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beit at the two dots, Vyatapeh, about a quarter of the way up. We were in the middle of the drushas that were taking place on that grand day in Yavne, and Kerem B'Yavne, and Rebbe Nechemia was patach b'chod Aksanya. He wanted to speak about the people that have been putting themselves out for supporting the Talmidei Chachamim that have come to town, and all of the families there were being ma'aksein for this entire period, all of the Talmidim, and he was dorish like this. When Shaul had to go destroy Amalek, so he says to the Keni, you've got to leave, because as we know, the Keni were very close to Amalek throughout, and Shaul had to warn them that they're just going to, in the middle of a war like this, they're just going to end up being destroyed along with Amalek, and I feel that we owe you this. And look how kind you were, referring to the grandparents of the Keni. Was kind. Who was Yisrael? So, what did Yisrael do, B'sach HaKol? I mean, he made a big party, you know. He invites Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen and Kol Yisrael. Everybody comes to a big party. I mean, but that party was the biggest covet he ever got in his life. As Rashi says, Mirat Elu Velo Yatsa. I mean, this is like an amazing party. So you're telling me this is Kulei L'Shem Shemayim Yisrael. With the, you know, so my Yitro, look, what did he do over here? Lo Kirevet Moshe L'Chvod Atzmokach. He was Mechabed Moshe, but that was his covet. Ani Chotano Shel HaMelech, as Rashi points out. So if that's the case, nonetheless, for generations, that Zechut is Omedet Lo, that we feel a debt to him and to all of his descendants. Somebody who takes the Talmid Chacham into his home, and he's machilo, umashkeu, maneu minachasav, makes him feel like $1 million. How much more is that? Where there's no covet in it for you, and you're doing it entirely for the covet atera. Endless, endless sachar. The Torah tells us, so this is absolutely crazy, that we suffered with all of these people, you know, and I mean, it's not as if, you know, these people were really very nice to us, but we live there in Mitzrayim, and God help us to live in those kind of circumstances. So, I mean, even the original Yishuv in Mitzrayim was entirely, you could see how selfish it was when they let Yaakov and his children settle. Look in the undertones of Paro's words to Yosef. As Paro says to Yosef, well, that's a good experience with you. If you had any brothers or something like that, you know, maybe we could appoint them over the Mikneh Asheli, you know. So, and nonetheless, kach, for generations, we're not allowed to be marchik the Mitzri. So, amareach tamid chacham betoch beto, machilo, mashkeo, manem rechasav. Alachat kama vekama, imagine how wonderful the Torah views his actions. Patak rebeli yezben ashur b'yosek lili, b'chvod achsanya. And he was dorish like this. When Oved Edom was the one who, when David HaMelech had put the Ora in Abris, when everything had failed on the way up with the Maisav Uzzah, and it landed up in Beit Oved Edom Hagiti. And so, they come and they tell David HaMelech that, look, he's gotten tremendous brachas because of the Aron being in his house, and Vayivorech Hashem et Beit Oved Edom, Bavur Aron HaElohim. And then David went and he brought the Oved, the Aron, up to the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, what would be the Beit HaMikdash. He brought it up with all of the simcha of the mitzvah, which is fundamental to Hilchot Lulav this time of the year. So, if Oved Edom, B'sach HaKol, I mean, you can't really do very much for an Aron Elohim in your house. You know, what are you going to do? Oh, you can sweep the floor every day, you know, I guess. Wash the floor, do sponge. I mean, you can make it look nice. But that's all you can do. I mean, the Aron was there. The Aron doesn't eat. He hasn't had a drink. I mean, so what did he do? He made very beitzel fun of. Nonetheless, Kach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mevorech him to such an extent that David HaMelech felt confident in bringing up the Aron HaBrit. And we'll see what that bracha was. What was that bracha? It says, Vayivorech. It says that Hashem was mevorech beit oved Edom HaGiti. What was that bracha? Mahi, bracha shebirachol. Arm revira bar zvida. If you take a look in Divrei Hayomim, and you know how to read, I mean, Divrei Hayomim is very hard to decipher. But if you read carefully, you can see exactly what that bracha was. It was the bracha that was given to Chamot, the mother-in-law, meaning the wife, his own wife, and eight of her daughter-in-laws. That all of them were given the gift of having six children at one time. Shisha, shisha bekeres echad. Where do we see this? Read the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. So it says over there, Amiel, Hashishi, Yisachar, Shvi, Pu'ulati. Pu'ulatai was Hashmini. Ki Beracho Elohim. Now that Beracho Elohim is obviously a reference to the Berach Elohim. There it says, Berach Hashem et Beit Oved Adam Egiti. Ko Ela. Now the next pasuk continues on to explain. It's not the next pasuk, it's the end of a list, as we'll see, of an enormous number of people. We're going to figure out from that how many must have been born. Kol elo bibnei Oved Edom. These are all the grandchildren of Oved Edom. Hema uvneihem veacheihem. All of them are anshei chayil b'keach la'avodah. All of them were heroic figures. And there were shishim v'shnayim lo'avdei Edom. 62 people b'sach hakol out of this asher berach Elohim. Which is obviously a reference back to this. Now, if you figure that it was his own wife was one of them, plus there was another eight, so that gives you nine altogether, is 54, plus his own children originally that were there, which were the eight. That's the only way to work it out, that it should be 62. So if you read carefully, you do the math, then the only way that you're going to work out this number is that you've got this bracha for all eight daughter-in-laws, plus his own wife, including the original eight added to the six per child per birth, and then you end up with 62. And clearly, this is, at last, we see so many centuries later, what that bracha was to Oved Edom. Omar Rav Avin Halevi, you should know that in general, there are people who don't rest. They're always dochek et hasha'ah. Things aren't working out for them, so they try harder. People who keep trying harder when things aren't working out should know that hasha'ah dochakto. They're going to be pushed. Everything they try is going to fail. V'chol ha'nidche mipnei sha'ah, sha'ah nidchet mipanav. And people who are willing to accept the fact, now is the wrong time. This isn't working out. I'm not going to get involved in this. I just go and do slowly what I can. And eventually, maybe things will work out. In the end, the hour moves away to give him his place. And we had this maysa actually with Rab and Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was a famous baki gadol, what we call a Sinai. Sinai means someone who's baki, we call it Tarekula. Rabba was very profound. And that's called Oker Harim. He would uproot mountains, v'tochanam zebes, and grind them against each other until you finally get to the core and gist of this svara. And what happened was, Yitzchikel Shaita, they needed to appoint a new leader. And they sent to Eretz Yisrael, if we have a choice of appointing a Sinai or an Oker Harim as the new Rosh Hashiva, who shall we choose? Ezemem Kodem. So they sent back from Eretz Yisrael, always choose Sinai. Because everybody, Akot Tzrichin L'mor Efitaya, you always need the wheat. You need the raw material. You can always work intellectually, but you must have that raw material. If Rabbi Yosef has got all the material, take him. And other people will learn to be great intellects. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yosef refused the job. Afa piken lo kibel alav Rabbi Yosef. And Rabbi Yosef, when he was born, he was told by the Kaldoyim, oh, this boy is going to be a Rosh Yeshiva for 2 years. He says, never mind. I'll be Rosh Yeshiva for 2 years and another 20 years. It's fine. Because there's only one way out of that job. I'm not interested. So he refused. And instead, Rabbah became king, and Rabbah became king, meaning became Rosh Yeshiva, for 22 years, which, of course, was the time that Yosef HaTzadik was also in that position, who was the Mori Chitaya, as
because Rabbi Yosef points out for himself who he is. And so Rabbi Yosef had to wait for those 22 years. And after Rava died, Rabbi Yosef indeed took over for 2 years and a half. Tartik Shinu Palga. And you should know that the entire 22 years that Rava was Rosh Shiva, Afilu Umna Labete Lokara, he refused any level of covet whatsoever, acted like one of the Talmidim. He wouldn't even call the doctor to come for a house call. He would go to the clinic like everybody else. Omar Rabbi Ovin Halevi, my detiv Yancha Hashem Biyom Tzara, Yisagevcha Hashem Elohe Yaakov. Why Elohe Yaakov? What happened to Avram and Yitzchak? Just because things are tough, you're only asking for Yaakov Avinu. V'lo Elohe Avram Yitzchak. From here you see, Mikan Labala Korah, Shikanez Bo'ovi Akorah. The one who started it was the one, I mean, Yaakov Avinu was the one who really had it rough. And he had all of these kids, and he went through hell with these kids, and his whole life, and the interrelationships, and all of his tefillahs, and his wives. Oh, God, what a life. But once you start, that's it. You're carrying the burden. When you're carrying that roof beam, you stand under the part that's heaviest. That's the Ovi Akorah. And therefore, if things are tough for you, that's the guy to look to for the correct tefillah. We talked before about Yitro's great party for Moshe and Aaron. Well, you should know that anyone who takes part in such a Seuda, it's as if he was standing in the presence of the Shekhinah's shine. What do you mean, God was there? I mean, they didn't bring it to what? To the, what does that mean, Lifnei Elohim even? It must be, I mean, it was Moshe that was there, right? Elo Moshe was ochlo. Elo lomar lecha kol anene misuda shetabit chacham sharui betocha kilu nehene miziva shchina. V'yomer Abavin Alevi, if somebody is saying goodbye to a friend, never say lech bishalom. Always say lech lishalom. Because Yitro, who said to Moshe when Moshe Rabbeinu was leaving, he said lech lishalom. And what happened with Moshe? He was pretty successful. Allah v'itzliach. But David told Avshalom, when Avshalom was on his way to Hebron, he told him, Lech Bishalom. And the next thing we know about is he was hanging over there with his head. If you're saying goodbye to the dead, and what they used to do, they would carry a mate from one city to the next, that group would go home, pass it on to the next one, till they got to the Mokam HaKfura. So they would take their leave, because after all, it was not, you know, it's like, as if we're leaving you. We're not leaving you. But there you don't say Lech Lishalom. You say Bedafka Lech Bishalom. Shenema, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Zatat Tavo El Avotecha, which is obviously a reference to death, Bishalom. So death is in peace. Om Rabbi Levi Barchia, Yotzemi Beit HaKnesset, V'Nichnasel Beit HaMidrash, V'Sipet Torah. Someone who walks right out of Tvila and goes directly into the Beit HaMidrash to go from one level, the level of Tefillah, to the level of Torah, such a person is Zochu Mekabel Pnei Shechina, Shema Yelchu Michael El Choyel Yera'el El Elohim B'Tzion. And another meaning of that pasuk, says Rabbi Chia Barashi Amarav, is that Talmidei Chachamim never get a chance to rest. You think that the grave is rest. We say, you know, Kinoch Nafshe, or B'Shalom, lie in peace. Not Talmidei Chachamim. Talmidei Chachamim ein lehem menucha, lo ba'olam hazeh, ve'lo ba'olam haba, shenema yelchu michayel ochoyel. Michayel ochoyel has greater and greater fights. So that there's greater and greater challenge, greater and greater discoveries to be made. Yera'eh el Elohim b'tzion. And we will leave the last words, which everyone already knows and says all the time, we'll leave for our Siyama Masechet Berachot Bezrat Hashem.
It's very sad, like
Samach Dalet. It is sad indeed. So, today's daf Samach Dalet, Brochas Toshin Samach Hei, Tisha Yomim LaOmer, and we are up to the end of the story of Chomois, and we're on Omer Abavin HaLevi, the third line. Omer Abavin HaLevi, Kol HaDochek Et HaSha'a, Sha'a Dochakato. People who push the hour, in other words, it's before their time, say like Avshalom, insisted on having his way. He wants to be able to Gedula, to become a king, no matter what it takes. And at that point, the hour pushes him away. In other words, and he can even die young because of it. Whereas Kola Nitcha Mipnei Hashaa, one who allows himself to be pushed away, even from the hour that has arrived, Sha'a Nitchet Mipanav, his own hour of appointed death even, can be pushed off. And we have a story in which this actually took place. By the way, you'll notice the difference between David and Avshalom, and this is extremely powerful. Where David, every time he was put into a position where he could have taken over from Shaul, and it even appeared that everything was demanding that he take over Shaul, thrown into his hands miraculously again and again. I mean, they fall asleep, or he backs into the Ma'arav, the story of it. And everybody's telling him, what's the matter with you? It's such a hashgach, it's given into your hands, take over. Me? I have to do something to take over. This is crazy. I should hurt the Mashiach Hashem. And look at the opposite results. So he was a person who never, ever pushed, allowed himself to be pushed out of the way. He became David Melech Yisrael Chayvet Ayah.
How old is
he? Huh? 70. I mean, that's a special case. You know. And here's the case of Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. Now, Rabbi Yosef was a Sinai. Sinai means he was a big bucky. And as we saw very often, he was the one who quotes a Braita and so on. Rabba, on the other hand, was not as great a bucky. Rabba was an Oker Hori. He could lift up mountains and grind them together until he came out with a little diamond in the middle. So he was brilliant. Yitzrichalahu Shaita, and it came time in which one of them needed to be appointed as the Rosh Yeshiva. And it wasn't clear who it should be. So Shalchu Lahatan, they sent the Shaila to Eretz Yisrael from Babel to ask who it would be better to appoint. Sinai, we have a Sinai person, someone who's a Baki, and we have an Oker Harim. Ezem Me'em Kodem, which one should come first? Shalchu Lahu, and they sent back a Teshuvah from Eretz Yisrael, Sinai Kodem. You should always take for such a position the one who is the Baki. Shakot Tzrichim L'Morai Chitaya, everybody needs the guy who's got the goods. And he's got the goods. Other people can analyze the goods. If you have the data, then you're going to have what to work with. You don't have the data, it's not worth it. Today, the only thing that's important is how good you can give over your doctoral thesis. Same idea. They think the way to teach people how to learn is to bring a person who doesn't know Aleph Beis into the library, show them everybody's doctoral thesis. Because essentially, this Akron wrote this sefer, it's his whole life's work, it's his doctoral thesis. Undoubtedly, if I learn that, I'll learn how to learn. You know, if you collect 50 doctoral theses, you figure if you read them through, you don't have a clue to what it's all about. But if you read them through, you must know how to learn. And this is actually what they do. They actually take kids who know zero, haven't learned Tanakh, haven't learned the Mishnah yet, know maybe 5 pages of Gemara, and they teach them doctoral theses. Imagine doing that in university. What do I got to take chemistry 101? What are you, crazy? I'll sit in the library and read doctoral theses. Anyway, so obviously that's not the way to do things, and the results speak for themselves. So they said you should always take the Sinai. But Rabbi Yosef refused the position. They wanted to make him Rosh Yeshiva, and he said, no way. Because, after all, the Chaldeans, he had a gypsy tell him when he was a kid, you're going to be a Rosh Yeshiva for 2 years. Uh-oh. And he figures after those 2 years it's all over. He ain't going to take those 2 years now. We'll put him off a little bit. So he refused the position, and he insisted that the only one they can appoint is Rabba. So they appointed Rabba. Sure enough, Rabba became the Rosh Hashiva, and Molach Rabba Esrim Metartin Shni. For 22 years he was the Rosh Hashiva, and when he died, Rabbi Yosef became Rosh Hashiva for 2.5 years. Tartin Shni Upala. And Kol Hanet Shani, the Molach Rabba, during all of those years when Rabba ruled, he was careful not to act in any way. So when it came time to have the barber, who in those days would do the leeches. So they wouldn't use leeches, actually, let blood. But he wouldn't call him to his house, which you do if you're a fancy guy. He went instead and sat in the office. Of course, there's a lot of Ramazim in the Sugya, which Tosafos himself brings elsewhere, but the Sugya appears. Rabbi Yosef talks about himself. He says, Rav Tfuot Bekoach Shor, about himself. You get a lot of stuff to carry around, a lot of produce on your back if you're an ox. This is referring to Yosef. Yosef Hatzadet, to Ashor, Bechor Shoro Hadarbo. And as a matter of fact, it was 22 years, precisely the number of years that Yosef was away, that he was able to push off his death by not accepting this position. He stayed out of the family for 22 years, so to speak. And these 2.5 years are the 2 years that after the Shnot HaRa'av began, 2.5 years that Yosef HaTzadik was Molech until Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim, basically, which he came really into his own in those years, where they saw he was right, and everybody came to him, and they needed him. Paro said, listen, you know, a guy who's a, if he could say this, just do whatever he says, accept what he tells you. The Amar of Avin HaLevi, Mai dechtiv yancha Hashem b'yom tzara, yisagev Hashem Elohei Yaakov. When times get tough, David HaMelech prays, the one who should help you is the God of Yaakov. And why the God of Yaakov? I mean, we have Elohei Abraham, we have Elohei Yitzchak. I mean, why do we need to specifically engage Elohei Yaakov? Mikan, Lebal HaKorev. The guy who's going, who owns the, it's a mushel, the person who has owns the beam that needs to be moved. He's the one that needs to take responsibility if he's carrying it with other people. He should take the heaviest part. And it's a saying, which means that if you're the guy who is in charge, it was Yaakov Avinu that had all of the children, and he was the one that had all the tzar gilobanim, and all of his life was full of that tzar. That from that point on, his mida becomes the one who cares about those children, who's mispallah for those children, and so on. So we refer to Elohei Yaakov. Each of the avot is expressed in the way Yaakov Shvaruch Hu relates to us because of the relationship with that av. And therefore, the God, so to speak, upon whom we call, is Bedavk Elohei Yaakov. Very important thing that people don't realize. When we say Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, it's not who is the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Each one is a different Elohei. The Elohus is expressed in a relationship with the world that's defined by these three fundamental pillars. Omar Rabba Min HaLevi, Kol HaNe'ne Misu'uda Shetalmid Chacham Sharui B'tulcha Ki'ilu Ne'ne Mizibashkina. Someone who takes benefit of a Su'uda, where a Talmud Chacham is part of that Su'uda, it's a continuation of the Sugis we had before, is as if he's been Ne'ne at that point directly from the Shechina. Shenamar Vayavo Aharon V'chozik Nei Yisrael L'Achol Lechem Im Chotein Moshe Lifnei HaElohim. How is it Lifnei HaElohim exactly? Lifnei HaElohim Achlu Alol Lifnei Moshe Achlu. Why do you say that we're eating in front of God? There's a little bit we saw yesterday that the doctor, we are looking at it, that they ate in front of God because they were eating the zvachim that he had brought, and he was the one that was being in mahana them. Here again, the mashmaot is halal lifnei Moshe. Moshe was serving them. The very fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was there at that seuda, that's why it's called lifnei Elohim. Yom Rebavin Halevi, Haniftar Michaveiro. Somebody who is saying goodbye to a friend should never say Lech B'Shalom, go in peace. He should always say Lech L'Shalom. And we can see this, Yitro, Shamar Lo Moshe, Yitro, told Moshe, Lech L'Shalom. And what happened to Moshe? Moshe was Allah Vitzliach. He became a great man. But David, when Avshalom asked for sure to go, he told Avshalom, Lech B'Shalom. That was the end of Avshalom. He was halach v'nitla. He ended up being hung from that halicha. You know, this, by the way, it's interesting that those who say that this is only when you're going. You're coming, so it's b'shafti b'shalom el beit avim.
B'shalom
rabbi v'tamim. That's Begro actually says that. But l'maisa, when it comes to the bracha, it's we say in the bracha of Tfilas HaDerech, it's achzireinu l'shalom. Not Bishalom. It became that gears in the bracha appears in Yerushalmi. There's mashmaot. It's not 100% clear. So I mean, the point over there is to amaze. If he has shalom, meaning shlemut, if he's attained something in this world, he doesn't have to go towards anything new. It's a question of now getting what it is that he achieved. So it's like Bishalom. If he hasn't had the shalom now, he ain't going to get it. You can't tell him like Lishalom, because you can only have what you're bringing with you. Mashenkin, a live person, is always growing, as we'll see at the next again. And the idea is, therefore, go always towards greater and greater shlemut. And as long as you're part of the rat race of life, it's always towards something. It's
l'shalom.
Yeah, you want to be blessed with the blessing of peace. But the question is going and coming. I mean, Omer Reb Levi b'Reb Chia, Hayotzei mibeit ha-kneset, v'nichnas lebeit ha-midrash, v'osek ba-torah, zochel mekabel p'nei shkinah. Speaking of going from one level to the next, somebody who goes to davening, he comes directly from davening to daf yom. I did? Oh, I'm sorry. Omer Reb Levi b'Levi, aniftar men ha-meit. I was explaining that because I thought we said it. I'm sorry. There's someone who is saying goodbye to a mate, when you say goodbye to a mate, and usually what they would do when they were bringing a mate from one city to another for burial, so they had a seder in which the people of one town would come out to be makabel pnei amita, would carry the mita onwards towards the next town. That town would then, those people would then turn and would say goodbye to the mate. So it was an official pesirim in amit, sort of a bikush reshut to allow someone else to take over the levaya. So the derech was to say leich bishalom. Shenema v'ata tavo el avotecha bishalom. That's of course death tavo el avotecha. Omer Reb Levi Barchia hayotzimi beit hakneset v'nichnas v'beit hamidrash. Someone who leaves his shacharit and then comes to davyomi. and he's Osik B'Torah, Zochu Mekabel Pnei Shechina. Shemema Yerchu Michael El-Choyu, Yerayel Elohim B'Tzion. Someone who goes from one strength to the next, it's all Halicha again. So that's the reference here, it's how it fits in the whole idea of Halicha, Shalom. The one who goes from one strength to the next will end up being Mekabel Pnei Shechina B'Tzion.
Better than eating breakfast in the day?
Well, you know, I'm Nichshal, but yeah,
really?
Definitely. Something. I mean, it doesn't mean you change your schedule, but Baptist, you should end up davening later in order that it should be this way.
That's what I'm asking.
No, it means that you'll sit down and learn after davening. Right. What, you think it's some kind of trick?
Yeah,
you
know?
It's not a trick, it's a reality. After you daven, you go sit down and learn.
You spend all day in the because
that's the reason for it. Omru Kriya Barashi Omarav, Talmidei Chachamim Ein Lehem Menucha. Indeed, when it comes to Talmidei Chachamim, they're always being Yelfu Michoel Ofoyo. They have no peace. Lo Bolam Azev, Lo Bolam Abay. No, we say to a mate, Lech Bishalom. But that's only in terms of the things that a person can achieve in Olam Hazeh, Avodah. So in terms of that, in terms of Bria, obviously Olam Haba is Menucha, by definition. Yom Shekulo Shabbos Menucha L'chai Olam. But in terms of awareness and understanding, it's Yehu Michoya L'choyal, even in Olam Haba. There's no rest, there's always new challenges, new things to understand. Yerayal Elohim B'tzion. And I think we'll save our closing lines for our closing lines. Well, this has been quite a ride.
It's
been
a rough one.
Yeah, that's
great. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Nice Masechet.
Beautiful. Of course, you remember what it says about the guy who says, this is a nice Masechet.
What does it say about the guy who says this is a nice Masechet?
It says he's a pimp. They're all beautiful. That's what the Gemara says. It's called Lo Ezonot. But it's okay. It's a beautiful Masechet like many of us.
But he says that very Masechet.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Tomorrow, same time, same place.
Is that Hashem? I just wanted to read you. I know which you would have liked because I want to read you one of the sites. Because Bobby had to hear this. I got an email from someone who listens to the shiur in Toronto, and he confirmed that it is now the minhag of Rov people in Toronto to remove their shoes while coming into the house. So that's a cyberspace for you. We now have confirmation.